do need you. Forgive us when sometimes, as your people, we foolishly at times in our life live as though we don't need you. I pray that you would have our attention this evening as we look at some examples of old. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us to be the people you would have us to be. We thank you. We praise you in your name. God's people, they always do the right thing, don't they? You mean God's people can go awry? God's people can make choices and live their lives in certain ways that are not right with Him? We all know the answer to that, don't we? God's people are not perfect, are we? I'm sure not. And I've been pastor here a good number of years, and I have yet to meet one. We're not going to find any this side of glory, are we? What I want us to do this evening is I want us to spend our time looking at some Old Testament examples and realize that whether we like to admit it or not, many times God's people do not make the right decisions with our lives. Andrew, for your title here tonight, let's call this, It Can Happen with God's People. It can happen with God's people. We're going to look at some startling exposures about God's people. You're going to look at some of these references perhaps and think, surely that can't be a record of God's people, can it? That has to be some heathens, some people that don't know the Lord. I wish I could say it was, but it's not. We're going to look at three Old Testament examples from the three major prophets. Turn, if you would, first of all, to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Set the stage a little bit so that you can see what, Pastor, you really are talking about the Lord's people. Isaiah begins that first verse of chapter 30, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not by my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Talks about their desire to return to Egypt. This is a reoccurring theme that you find time and time again, especially in the major prophets. Believe it or not, after over 400 years of captivity through the people of Egypt, you would think that God's people had had enough of Egypt and would never want to go back down there again, wouldn't you? God's people aren't very smart sometimes. And even here, Isaiah speaks of their desire You want to go down to Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Lord said here, you didn't ask whether I wanted you to go there, you just went. And you sought the counsel. And in verse 3 he says, okay, the strength of Pharaoh is going to be your shame. And the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. Well, we have set the stage, so to speak, and let's take our eyes and turn to verse 8 through 11, and see here now God getting a bit more direct to their hearts. Now go. Write it before them in a table or a tablet, and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, what is a seer? It was another name for a prophet. And in this instance, this name is used because quite often the prophet would see from the Lord things concerning the future, and they were called seers. They can see what God is going to be doing in the future. Which say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Aren't those terrible words to be recorded, spoken from the hearts and the mouths of God's people that were there in Isaiah's day? What do we see here? So far away from God, their cry was they wanted to silence the word of God. We don't want to hear that. Would God's people ever say that? Would Christians be so brave to say, I don't want to hear what God has to say. Don't talk to me about God's will for my life. Don't talk to me about what I can expect if I continue going in this direction with my life. You tell someone else, but don't talk to me. Can God's people say things like that? Sure can. And so that was their cry. They wanted to silence the word of God. These people in Isaiah's day, to whom he was writing, they were characterized by a rebellious departure from God. A rebellious departure. Let's go back and look at some of those things. First of all, the Lord told Isaiah in verse 8, He said, I want you to write this down. I want there to be a permanent record of this sin of my people, so that it'll be readable for time to come, forever and ever, verse 8. This is a rebellious people. These are lying children. They are children who, notice, will not hear the law of the Lord. By the use of that word, will, what does that tell us? This is something that speaks of a what condition? That is a hard condition. They have made a choice with their lives. And they said, we will not hear the law of the Lord. We won't listen to it. That could never happen with God's people, could it? It was. This was an account concerning God's people, which meant we looked at verse 10. These special servants whom God had raised up in their midst, the seers, the prophets, that God was faithfully sending to them with God's word to appeal to them, to change their ways, to turn their hearts back to the Lord. These rebellious people had said, we don't want to hear you. We don't want to hear you. Notice in the middle of verse 10, they had made a substitution. Rather than wanting to listen to the truth of God's word, when God is addressing your heart and mine, and perhaps there are some things in our heart, in our life, that are not right, are the things that God wants to tell us always pleasant to hear? Yes or no? Huh?
No.
These people knew that. But they had just simply turned God off. They said, we will not listen to the law of the Lord, and we will not listen to those special servants that you keep sending with their messages from God. Instead, the middle of verse 10, this is what we will listen to. Prophesy not unto us right things. Don't tell us the truth. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Paul had written to Timothy and he said, the time is going to come when they, this is God's people, will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall instead be turned unto fables, fiction, in the words of Isaiah, smooth things and deceits. Just tell us, you know what they were basically saying? We'll listen to anything you've got to say except what? The truth. How's that for a picture of God's, the hearts of God's people? Can that be so? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. They wanted God's truth changed to that which was pleasing. But let's take a second look at the second major prophet, and that would be Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 5, take your Bibles and turn there. In Jeremiah 5, in verse 30 and 31, here Jeremiah says, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. In other words, they're not following what God had laid down in the law as far as guidelines of those who had that position of serving as priests in God's order and in God's service. They were just doing whatever they wanted to do. And it says, and my people love to have it so. And then this was one of those questions that was on the list, but we never got around to it. When God asks questions, this 31st verse closes with a significant question. When God asks his people, and what will you do in the end thereof? You who have come to that place where you are content with a religion that is distorted. A religion that is distorted. In Isaiah, we saw there had been a rebellious departure from God. But here in Jeremiah's day, there was a noticeable difference. Theirs was a distorted religion. They knew what they were hearing was not the truth, but that was okay. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their own means, and my people couldn't be happier. What a terrible picture of the hearts of God's people. They knew what they were hearing wasn't the truth, but they were content with it. And I was thinking about some of the things that you oftentimes hear people use by way of an excuse today. People say, well, you know, I know what the preacher is preaching isn't really exactly sound, but I really like the preacher. I really like his family. I really like the neighborhood the church is in. So I know the music isn't the greatest, I know this, that, and the other thing, but, you know, I just feel so comfortable there. I like it like that. The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. That sound familiar of some of the things that oftentimes we hear people say as they try to justify. Sometimes perhaps some friends of yours, family members, relatives, who've stood for certain truth in the past, and you find them settling down, settling into a ministry that you know is not completely true, they know is not completely holding to the truth. But they like it there. They're happy with that. They loved it. It didn't matter what they were hearing. They were comfortable. They were settled. They were pleased with the false things they were hearing, the smooth things, yes, the deceitful things they were hearing. How could God's people say such things? I don't know, but we do sometimes, don't we? We've seen in Isaiah, we saw a departure, a rebellious departure. We will not listen to the law of God. We will not listen to the seers and the prophets. That's not what they in Jeremiah's day said. Well, we'll listen. It doesn't matter what they say. We like those smooth-sounding things. You know, just as long as they don't tell us the truth, they can tell us, because we like the church, we like the people, we like the building. A lot of our friends go there. But the Lord said, what are you going to do in the end? You have to defend the truth. You have learned the truth. Your heart has been filled with deceitful things. You're not prepared for the future. You're not prepared for what's ahead. What are you going to do in the end? What a solemn thought to think that this is God's people we're talking about. We're not just talking about somebody out on the street who doesn't know any better. This is God's people who ought to know better, but this is what they had settled in to. Shame on them. Third major prophet is Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, we turn to chapter 33. We notice in verses 30 through 33 these words. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. Now let's stop there. You say, Pastor, this third example is a group of people who are wanting to come and hear the word of the Lord. That's what verse 30 says. They're inviting, come to church and hear the word of the Lord. Stick with the program, though. Let's read on. And they will, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. But when you find that but there, you know that it's telling us something. But they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love. Oh, we're so anxious to hear what you've got to say, preacher. Verse 30. We brought some to hear the word of the Lord. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, you are unto them just like a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they'll hear your words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. This picture is the worst by far. This is a picture of deception. This is a picture of ritualism. They're not missing church. They're coming. They're taking their usual spot in the pews. They're sitting there. They're even looking at the preacher instead of their cell phone when he's talking. They're giving him the impression that they're really interested in what they are saying. They're looking him right in the eye as people who, oh, we're so anxious to hear what God has to say. But in their hearts, it's all a big show. It's all a big show. We'll come, they said. We'll sit. We'll listen. You're going to think that we're with you, but truth is, preacher, we have no intention of ever doing what God says. Once again, in this third example, we have seen the record not of the ungodly heathen people. We have seen here an account of those who were God's people. Pastor, why did you bring those passages to us this evening? Why did you bring those to our attention? I'll tell you why. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Two verses. Verse 6. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust or desire after evil things as they also lusted. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition or instruction, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Why did you have us look at those things, Pastor? Because I want us to keep this in mind as we go from this place this evening. The examples that we looked at, the the decisions that God's people made, it's happened to God's people in the past. And it can happen to God's people in the present. I want us to take this as a warning. I want us to take this as some passages of Scripture that the Holy Spirit might take and use in our hearts and speak to our hearts. How is my heart as one of God's people? Three different responses. Those in Isaiah's day, those were the ones that had just hardened their heart and said, we're not going to listen. Those in Jeremiah's day, they had a distorted religion. They knew that they weren't going to the best church. They knew that they weren't doing the best things with their lives. But you know, that was okay. That's okay with us. And this third one, the deceptive ritualism. They're not making any show. They're not resisting. They're not creating any waves. They're going along with it. They come, they sit, they look at the pastor. They're giving him the impression, we're listening. Preach it, brother. But in their hearts, they're saying, you think you've got us. You think we're really paying attention to you. You think that God is really going to do a work in our hearts. We got you fooled. We don't intend on doing anything here. It can happen to God's people. It's happened before. I showed you some examples. God forbid it happen in our hearts. Let's stand and close in prayer today. Father, we have looked at some pretty alarming examples of accounts of your people whose hearts got out of fellowship with you. Their hearts were not right. And you sent your prophets to address them to no avail. Lord, help us to realize that even in the 21st century, we can be deceptive. We can close our hearts, our ears. We can have a distorted relationship and be contented with it. Work in our hearts that's needed. We pray for our hearts, Lord. We pray for our hearts for years and years, Lord. If there are some of these hearts here in us tonight, do a mighty work for you, Lord.